We're continuing to look at the trainings that one engages into to first cultivate a Mahayana path and then continue in one's progression along the Mahayana paths. To first generate a Mahayana path in one's continuum, one generates love and compassion and develops those into the mind of enlightenment, bodhicitta. Having generated bodhicitta, one trains in the practices of a bodhisattva. And of those six perfections, the six perfections that bodhisattvas train in, last week we completed the fourth, that of joyous perseverance. And tonight we'll start to look at the fifth, that of concentration. The fourth perfection, that of joyous perseverance, which we looked at over the preceding 2 weeks, that is defined as the mind that delights in virtue. And therefore, it's a mind that we should generate with all our virtuous activities, because it ensures that we bring them quickly to completion and in an excellent manner. And so too with concentration. Concentration is also a mind that relates to virtuous objects. So therefore, both of these minds should be cultivated and engaged in with all our virtuous endeavors.
Concentration,
or maybe it's clearer to use the term meditative concentration. This is something that is generated, is attained or achieved by someone who has attained calm abiding. So therefore, through the cultivation of calm abiding, one has achieved meditative concentration. The etymology of the word samten, or meditative concentration, or the Sanskrit is samadhi, if I remember, dhyana. No, that's the other one. Samadhi. No, that's tingasin. Something, yeah. Apparently it's dhyana. Shamatha being shine. So the Sanskrit being dhyana is when one holds the virtuous object continuously, single-pointedly. So the two words, samten, sam being mind. So here we can take it to mean meditative stabilization. And then it engages with its object, holding it continuously. The term meditative concentration, or dhyana, is used in different contexts, so there are many different types of meditative concentrations. And so these are tend to be the varying minds of, or these are the varying minds of, the form and formless realms, of the two higher realms.
Sim Chi Kola Towa Tushi Semba Yilajiva Jagua Sajing Ayungurua
그럼
The word then that's translated in the context of perfection of concentration, samten, is also in other contexts translated as absorption. So these, it's the same Tibetan word, but in different contexts it's translated differently. And then it's in the context of the absorptions of the form and formless realm, where it's most applicable to the Sanskrit word of dhyana. So this term then, samten, we must understand that there are also not only many different types, but many mental factors which will accompany it, and they will all be included within concentration or meditative concentration. So when the mind, when a single point of concentration has been achieved, it is accompanied by the five omnipresent mental factors of feeling, discrimination, intention, mental engagement, and contact. And this particular mental factor of mental engagement, or rather, usually stabilization, when this is what is cultivated into single point of concentration. So there, it will be accompanied by the other four omnipresent mental factors, as well as the five object ascertaining mental factors of aspiration, belief, mindfulness, stabilization, and wisdom. Maybe not all five of them, but certainly many, many of them. So, I made a mistake there. I made a mistake there mentioning the mental factors. So when one develops single pointed concentration, as it's been called here, then concentration itself, meditative concentration, then this mind of concentration is accompanied by mental factors. So it will be accompanied by all five omnipresent mental factors of feeling, discrimination, intention, mental engagement, and contact. It will also be accompanied by several or perhaps all five of the object ascertaining ones. Certainly, it will have the object ascertaining mental factor of stabilization, because it is this mental factor, dingazin, which is developed into concentration, as well as probably the most of the other object ascertaining mental factors of aspiration, belief, mindfulness, and wisdom. Now turning to the text, we're on page 44. So my translation is slightly different from what you have there, but the meaning is the same. Certainly in the first bullet point, the part of what's in the first bullet point actually comes at the end of the Tibetan. So I'd rather follow the Tibetan, because it will be in accordance with Genla's translation. So the first point then starts with a motivation of bodhicitta. So that's the very first point, because we are in the context of the trainings of a bodhisattva. So therefore, there will be a motivation of bodhicitta. And now we come to the presentation of the different ways, the different divisions of a meditative concentration, the differing ways to divide it. So when divided by essence, there are two: ordinary and transcendent meditative concentration, or the translation before you is mundane and supramundane concentrations. So when meditative concentration is divided by way of essence, it's into two: mundane and supramundane, or ordinary and transcendent. We're in the context of a bodhisattva, hence there's the requirement for the motivation of bodhicitta, and when the meditative concentration is divided by essence, then there are two: ordinary and transcendent, or mundane and supramundane.
Da kanje le jidin bi samde lab na na de pa pa ma yin bo so so gi bo chen ju sem bo so so gi bi gi ge samde de ge jidin bi samde sa che go le da jidin bi lam si go ro ka so jidin bi samde sa da pa bi gi gi chen ju sem bo pa bi gi gi da samde de ge da di kar so re an jidin le de bi samde sa pa bi kan sa gi da na la kar so go sen da na la
Where we understand ordinary and transcendent meditative concentration is through the lens of our context here, which is that of within the continuum of a bodhisattva. So the single points of concentration, or rather the meditative concentration in the continuum of a bodhisattva, if it is ordinary, it means the bodhisattva is an ordinary bodhisattva. In other words, not an Arya being. They haven't realized emptiness yet directly. And if the meditative concentration in the continuum of a bodhisattva is transcendent, then it means the bodhisattva has realized emptiness and is an Arya being. So therefore, the level of realization of bodhisattva may differ, but they both have a realization of concentration of concentration.
Lam dila chenju senpa susui kibyo lam sena pakpe lam seda nishe shakarwa. Tsena di nanshin da jikdin bigi chenju senpa jikdin bigi da samden la du chenju senpa susui kibyo yuye samden de la jikdin bigi samden. Jikdin le de bala na chenju senpa pakpe yuye samden de la jikdin de bigi samden si shikarwa. Tsena da nga di pakpa dan susui kibyo yi yewa chen du son shakar dum de dirwa.
This then is a clear and straightforward way to understand ordinary and transcendent meditative concentration, but it is in the context of a bodhisattva. So therefore, the concentration within an ordinary bodhisattva would be called mundane or ordinary, and that within the continuum of an Arya bodhisattva would be called supramundane or transcendent. Who feel two divisions are too few, we could say make five divisions then. For our concentration in the continuum of a bodhisattva, there would be the concentration in the continuum of a bodhisattva on the path of accumulation. Secondly, there's the concentration in the continuum of a bodhisattva on the path of preparation. There's the concentration in the continuum of a bodhisattva on the path of seeing, as well as that in the path of meditation. And fifthly, the path of no more training. So in this way, we can have a division into five.
And that is in
That way of dividing, as we had the start of the text, was by way of essence. A second way to divide concentration would be into three, and that's by way of direction. So that would be, to reading from the text, to divide concentration by way of direction, namely directed towards either calm abiding, meditative insight, or the union of calm abiding and meditative insight. So here, meditative concentration is directed either towards calm abiding, or secondly, directed towards meditative insight, or thirdly, directed towards the union of the two, calm abiding and meditative insight. So look then at each of the three individually. So when concentration is directed towards calm abiding, what this means is the mental factor of stabilization or meditative stabilization, when it has been developed so that it can hold an object single-pointedly, then it is a mind of calm abiding. So here, the concentration or meditative concentration is directed towards holding an object single-pointedly, without distraction, unwavering for an unlimited period. So that's the first of this threefold division. The second, that of meditative insight, or translated either as special insight or penetrative insight, is not a mind of placement, but a mind of analysis, of investigation. It is the mental factor of wisdom. Whereas the previous one was the mental factor of stabilization, and now the second, that of meditative insight, is the mind of the mental factor of wisdom. So both of these are amongst the five object ascertaining mental factors, and here wisdom is concentration that is directed towards this wisdom is a concentration that is directed towards meditative insight. Then, when these two are brought together, stabilization and wisdom, so that single-pointedly one can both hold the object and investigate it, one has the third division here, the union of calm abiding and meditative insight. So the two now are conjoined. They are not separate. And then one is able to hold the object single-pointedly with the mental factor of stabilization, holding the object in an undistracted way. So that's the calm abiding, together with the meditative insight, the wisdom that is able to analyze. Then moving to the third of the three differing divisions. This is now to divide in by way of function. Yeah, all from the point of view of function. So when dividing meditative concentration or concentration by way of function, there are three to train in. The first is meditative concentration, abiding in physical and mental bliss in this very lifetime. So just to say as an aside, I'm using the term meditative concentration rather than the usual concentration, just to emphasize that it's not concentration like we generally use it in English, but it's something that has been developed to single-pointed concentration. So just to make it very abundantly clear, this is not our ordinary concentration, but concentration that is being developed. It essentially refers to the mental factor of stabilization that's been developed. Okay, so that was the first. Now the second, meditative concentration, accomplishing higher qualities such as the clairvoyances. And thirdly, meditative concentration, accomplishing the benefits of sentient beings. Let's bring a few things together, because the terminology perhaps isn't always so clear. So the word concentration or meditative concentration, then this is a mind, these are minds of higher realms, of the form and formless realm. So whenever someone has a meditative concentration, it means they have a mind of the form and formless realm. It doesn't necessarily mean that it is a mind of calm abiding, although it may well be, as we heard in the previous division of three. This is because it could be a meditative stabilization of meditative insight, or it could be a meditative concentration of the union of calm abiding and meditative insight. But what any of these concentrations or meditative concentrations are a mind of the form and formless realms, an absorption as it's often translated. So again, a mind of meditative concentration is necessarily a mind of the form or formless realm, but it's not necessarily a mind of calm abiding, but it may well be. Also, there are the mental factors that accompany meditative concentration, the five omnipresent mental factors, and possibly all five of the object ascertaining ones. these would too be counted as minds of meditative concentration, in that they are minds of the form and formless realm then. So therefore, we should understand that concentration doesn't only refer, or doesn't, sorry, necessarily refer to calm abiding or single-pointed concentration, but it can refer to concentration directed towards meditative insight, or concentration directed towards the union of calm abiding and meditative insight. So I hope that's clear, that meditative concentration doesn't, or absorption does not have to be calm abiding. It can be wisdom, and it can be any of those other mental factors, such as within the five object ascertaining and five omnipresent mental factors. Any of these can be called concentration when concentration's been well developed. But within the context of the six perfections, then meditative concentration is going to refer to calm abiding. What's to express that maybe a little clearer? When training in the six perfections, then a meditative concentration, or the perfection of concentration, will refer to calm abiding, or single point of concentration, because the next perfection, the sixth one, is that of wisdom. So therefore, the fifth, when one's training in the fifth perfection, that of meditative concentration, we can take it to mean that of calm abiding, training in calm abiding. In the previous segment, I referred to, in the context of the six perfections, training in the perfection of concentration would refer to training in calm abiding. Then for us as beginners, those who are not training in the actual perfections, because as we saw at the outset of this section, it says, when motivated by bodhicitta, so we are not yet bodhisattvas. So for practitioners of our level, when one is training in meditative concentration, it too refers to training in meditative stabilization or calm abiding. So within the five object ascertaining mental factors, there's the one of stabilization. So when this mental factor is developed to where an object can be held single-pointedly, this is then referred to as single-pointed concentration, but the mental factor is one of stabilization. And when it is able to hold an object undistractedly, then it is calm abiding. But the mental factor remains that of stabilization. And when one has developed calm abiding, it becomes meditative concentration, a mind of the form and formless realm, which is then also called in English an absorption. And not only then is that mental factor of stabilization, that object ascertaining mental factor of stabilization, now which has been developed into calm abiding, called a meditative concentration, but also so too are all the other mental factors accompanying it, those being those of the other object ascertaining or omnipresent mental factors. These too are called concentrations, and they are also called concentrations because they are minds of the form or formless realm. Those who are bodhisattvas, they will have already achieved calm abiding. So those of us who aspire to become bodhisattvas, we too need to develop calm abiding, develop the mental factor of stabilization to the point where one is able to hold an object single-pointedly and thereby develop calm abiding. And so bodhisattvas will already have achieved calm abiding in order to become a bodhisattva. And the way to develop concentration is through meditation, because it's through meditation that the mental factor of stabilization can be cultivated or strengthened to hold an object single-pointedly. Reason that a bodhisattva will have achieved calm abiding before actually becoming a bodhisattva is because whether a practitioner is of the hero lineage, the solitary realizer lineage, or the bodhisattva lineage, they have to have developed calm abiding in order to generate an initial path within themselves. To generate the first mental path of any of those three types, calm abiding has to have previously been achieved. So therefore, every new bodhisattva will have already achieved calm abiding. So therefore, so just to repeat what I said in the previous segment, there is no path that is free of calm abiding. There's no path that is separated from calm abiding. Every mental path that's achieved is achieved to on the basis of a prior attainment of calm abiding. Calm abiding can be attained on any number of objects, and once one has achieved calm abiding on a particular object, one will apply the single point of concentration that is calm abiding to an ever-expanding number of objects of meditation. So for example, a practitioner may well achieve a mental path independent on utilizing calm abiding on the object of the Four Noble Truths. Or if not, for sure, once they have achieved a mental path, they will apply calm abiding to the object of meditation, being the Four Noble Truths. Calm abiding can be achieved then on a wide variety of different objects. There are different ways of achieving it, those which are common, those which are uncommon. And if it can be done, and calm abiding can be striven for and achieved under the influence of a wide variety of motivations. Some will strive to and achieve calm abiding with the motivation of achieving this life's happiness. Others will strive to achieve calm abiding in order to create powerful causes for a good rebirth as a human or God in the next life. And others will strive to achieve calm abiding in order to achieve liberation from society, from samsara.
Shinye tsam toba tsamla ya ngati dandas ke shara shara ngajugi tsam tango makasin shinye toba tsamji ane ngajugi nyomo mapa ma shinye toba tsamji ngajo nyomo pango mare nyomo mapa ma na ngajo ane jige dyasha ki ya yoro kongro ki ya nyomo ji ne kanga yoro ya ne ngajo lul ya ane jige nasa ta yungure na yungure yungure jese za Jawa Chimay in there, she near some top jet, Delia Yagi, Tamatuana, Jawa Chimay in there, and Angazuki, Kovala Gare, Mother Tabala Toyamara, come Gomalaya, Suda Sumilia Gare, Yomare, Chesan, Sharad, Koy, Chimbura, Chagomare.
As has been said now a couple of times, whilst a mental path we achieved, it can only be achieved independent on calm abiding. So whilst that is the case, it is not the case that achieving calm abiding means that a mental path will be achieved, because it depends on the prior motivation, as well as then how calm abiding is then applied. In other words, what the object of meditation is. And it's important to be clear that calm abiding itself, the achievement of calm abiding itself, does not necessarily lead to the achievement of a path, and certainly doesn't lead to the elimination of the afflictions. Not at all. And a person who has achieved calm abiding will still suffer from afflictions. They will still suffer from physical illness. So they will still experience suffering even in the very life that they have calm abiding. And then their next life will still be a life bound within cyclic existence.
Na den da la dang zu xin ni zhu ye de la ya xin ni zhu gu gu le xie xin ni zhu gu de ga ra sheng zu lam yam len che ba la nyom mo ba bang gu le nyom mo ba bang ba la ma zu sem de ni ba chen bo su gu le ji ru da ji zang han zu gi chu le ma song de ma zham ne yong ba ne an ko zham xia ba ne chu o chen bo le yin ne xu xie da yo ma le 地上的俺们的心地心里没头发现在心地没难免给怕占尽的心地那些熟起来立马头过这在牛毛帮了熟起不立头过嘛这在牛毛帮了咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖喱咖
for ourselves as aspirants for enlightenment or for liberation, we require calm abiding. And the reason that calm abiding is required is that calm abiding is the essential basis for the achievement of a path, and the purpose of a mental path is to eliminate the afflictions. And one needs a powerful mind of calm abiding so that one's meditation has sufficient strength to eradicate our deep-seated, long-habituated afflictions. So here, often the analogy of flowing water is used to show as to the purpose of having a powerful mind such as calm abiding. So if we take our current mind and liken it to a wide, expansive river, we know from observing such a river, or maybe being on one in a small boat, it meanders very slowly with very little strength. But when that same river comes together, perhaps in a gorge or a gully, that the water is flowing now with much more concentration, and therefore this wide and expansive, slow-flowing river suddenly becomes a fast-flowing torrent. So it's clear which one has far more strength and direction. And similarly then, with our cultivation of our mind, a mind that can be likened to a fast-flowing torrent will have far more power in eradicating our long-habituated afflictions. Therefore, we need a mind of immense power, a mind of calm abiding.
Na shini drupthang de la ma ju gi rimba ro sun drupthang ni sun go re nye ba nga pon wi gi ne ne di nye bo du ji ji den ji shini drupthang jik ji ane sim ne bi tap gu se ji de ne gi sim ne bi tap gu la de ne shini drupthang jik ji shini drupthang rimba ni sun go re sim ne bi tap gu nye ba nga pon Neva Napon, Dushi Jetin, because at Nimbo Nimbo Jetin, Neva Paya Nimbo Nevangache, then a delay, Nimbo Day, Nimbo Jetin, and she knew to Sansi Sungore. Neva Nga. Neva, never. Never, never, never. You kill never did was. To gain the sword, gain Nayore, gain Wapang, gain Wapang Payagi, Nimbo Jetin, and she knew to Sansi Yores.
就在你,
there are two methods for accomplishing calm abiding. The one is that of five faults and eight antidotes, and the second method is that of the nine mental abidings.
就是, 为他写的别去学了差别去为他写差别去了为他写差别名为他来过来你哪来干什么是呢你也把卷那帮子你也不接电就心里出他送过来接电就心里出他就送过来为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他为他
There's a text by Maitreya. I don't know it in English, but it's either going to be the middle view, or it's going to be I don't know, the crown, the head view, or the higher view, can be any of these. I haven't seen it written. In Tibetan, Utna. So in here, Maitreya presents the method for achieving calm abiding based on the five faults, the elimination of the five faults through the application of the eight antidotes.
Then,
The second technique, that of the nine mental abidings, is also presented by Maitreya, together with Arya Sangha, in the text The Ornaments of Clear Realizations. So in this text, the method of the nine mental abidings is presented. Whichever of these two one follows leads to the same achievement, that of calm abiding. Between these two methods, the way of training differs, but the meaning is identical. The first method that Maitreya presented, that of the elimination of the five faults with the eight antidotes. Here, the first fault, which is an obstacle to the cultivation of calm abiding, is the fault of laziness. The meaning of laziness here is the same as we know from our own lives. It's a way of thinking, in other words, an affliction that serves to prevent us from engaging in virtue. And the particular virtue here will be the cultivation of calm abiding. The first of the five faults was laziness. The second to be abandoned is that of forgetting. Forgetting what? In particular, the spiritual instructions of one's teacher, the guidance that one has received in how to cultivate calm abiding. So this is the second of the five faults, that of forgetting the instructions. Then the third are the mental factors of laxity and excitement. These two serve as obstacles to the cultivation of calm abiding, laxity and excitement. To these faults, these faults which serve to prevent the attainment of calm abiding, these need to be eliminated, and they are done so through the application of antidotes. Then it's from my counting, it seems laxity and excitement. There must have been the third and the fourth. The fifth one, I don't know the name, but the meaning is that is applying the antidote when one should not be. So here, this is when one is holding the object undistractedly, single-pointedly, but one is applying an antidote for laxity or applying an antidote for excitement when there's no need to. Laxity hasn't arisen, excitement hasn't arisen. Actually, one is holding the object single-pointedly, but one mistakenly applies the antidote. This, then, is the fifth fault. With the third and fourth fault, those of laxity and excitement, the fault there is when one does not apply the antidote, because here it's needed. The mind is either lax or it is excited. And excited here is what we'd normally call distracted, so you're excited away from the object. So here, with the third and the fourth, the fault comes in that one does not apply the antidote when it's needed. The fifth, though, here the antidote isn't required because one is holding the object well. There is no laxity, there is no excitement. But one erroneously applies the antidote. That is the fault then with the fifth of the five faults.
And then dine za da delia ni kyen lo ma singa duwa da kyen nga re. Kyen nga ne dangbo lelo di ma kyen dangbo di lelo re. Che san lelo di liya ni bu xi yor de hola.
Those then are the five faults. And all of these five have antidotes to apply, because this technique is eliminating the five faults through the application of eight antidotes. So the first of the faults, you recall, is that of laziness. And laziness has four of the eight antidotes.
当然这个
Before going into the four antidotes, the actual antidote to laziness is that of pliancy. So pliancy is what it will actually eliminate laziness. But at this point, pliancy isn't developed. That's only developed once calm abiding is achieved. So we need other antidotes against laziness now whilst one's training to achieve calm abiding. Then the actual four antidotes to laziness are firstly faith, secondly aspiration, thirdly joyous perseverance, perhaps here it will be effort, and then fourthly that of pliancy. So faith, aspiration, let's say effort, and pliancy. But of these four, the actual antidote really is that of pliancy, the actual antidote to laziness. But this only is achieved with the achievement of calm abiding. In these four antidotes, preceding that of pliancy, in the list is that of joyous perseverance or effort, because through tremendous effort, eventually pliancy is attained. To achieve pliancy requires great effort, hence pliancy is preceded by effort in this list. But to make great effort, one requires aspiration, or perhaps aspiration here is perhaps not the best translation, that's a usual translation in terms of mental factors. A better translation would be determination. So through having strong determination, or another synonym here would be zeal. So when you apply yourself with zeal, so having the strong determination, then applying effort gives rise to pliancy. So these are presented in a specific reason. Order to give rise to pliancy requires the preceding efforts. To give rise to efforts requires a strong determination. And determination, it arises independent on the preceding antidote to laziness, that of faith. So faith then, refer in this context, or it's a faith in this can be maybe better here as conviction. It refers to faith in the qualities of calm abiding, or maybe conviction in the qualities of calm abiding. So this is the first of the four antidotes to laziness. And we understand how they work in that faith in the qualities of calm abiding gives rise to the wish to wanting to achieve calm abiding. Because one has faith, or maybe conviction is better, conviction in the qualities of calm abiding. Having conviction in the qualities of calm abiding, one will give rise to the second antidote, that of determination to achieve calm abiding. And independence on determination, one will make effort to achieve calm abiding. So these are all antidotes against laziness. And they will eventually lead to the best of the attainment of the best of antidotes, pliancy. First then, hearing about the qualities of calm abiding, the great benefits of calm abiding, one gives rise to a conviction in these qualities of calm abiding. And this conviction in the qualities of calm abiding means one has some wish to attain it. One develops this further then from the first antidote to laziness, that of faith or conviction, into the second, that of determination, where one has a determination to achieve calm abiding and overcome laziness in order to do so. One strengthens this further then with effort, the third of the four antidotes to laziness, applying ever more effort to overcome laziness and achieve calm abiding. And when a calm abiding is eventually achieved, one achieves the supreme antidote to laziness, or the best of antidotes, that of pliancy.
Then 내
Hopefully then it's clear that the relationship between these four antidotes to laziness, the obstacle to the attainment of calm abiding. The fourth antidote, this best of them, that of pliancy, comes with the attainment of calm abiding. And in order to achieve calm abiding, one has to completely overcome all forms of laziness, and therefore requires the preceding antidote of effort. An effort comes about in dependence on a determination to achieve calm abiding, which itself comes about in dependence on the conviction in the qualities of calm abiding. So therefore, the starting point is to know the qualities of calm abiding, reflect well on them, and thereby give rise to a conviction in them, wanting to achieve them. The qualities then of calm abiding can be considered from this perspective of this life, as well as benefits coming in future lives. The benefits then that will be achieved in this life is that when one achieves calm abiding, it is marked by the attainment of physical and mental bliss. Whenever then one sits in calm abiding, holding an object single-pointedly, one experiences incomparable physical and mental bliss. Moreover, because calm abiding is marked by the quality of being able to hold the object of meditation single-pointedly, without distraction, for any duration of time, it means that the spiritual practitioner can integrate virtuous qualities of the Dharma, whichever minds of the Dharma they are cultivating, integrate them very deeply within themselves, and bring about rapid transformation. In conjunction with this, huge stores of merit are accumulated because of the incredible power of this mind. So therefore, in addition to the attainment of physical and mental bliss in this life, huge stores of merit are accumulated, which will benefit future lives. Qualities of the other minds of the Dharma one is cultivating will be quickly achieved because of the strength of the mind, which will have great benefits in future lives. And in particular, when one thinks about being able to use a mind such as this, placed on the object of emptiness, then one's attainment of the realization of emptiness will be incredibly powerful, and therefore the attainment of liberation and enlightenment too will come ever nearer. So reflecting like this, one comes to see the incredible benefits that come from concentration, both in terms of this life as well as our rapid spiritual development from life to life. This then is the starting point to reflecting on these qualities of calm abiding is the starting point to give rise to the first antidote, that of conviction or faith.
Damga kasore, shinin dubi, negabla gomba, mus gombe kabla, damga jeba, said Jorua, never, Jun Jorua, damga jeba. Damga jeba, the Yimbo was in damga jamba de re. Damga the DJ was in jamba de, Janshi, Jambe, Lodi, Nidiji, damga jeba, the Yimbo, jamba de yena, jeba de Yungumarua, just a damga jamba, said Jamba.
So in the presentation of the application of the eight antidotes to the five faults in order to attain calm abiding. Those four antidotes were to overcome the first fault of laziness. The second fault was forgetfulness, in particular, forgetfulness of one's spiritual instructions from one's Lama in terms of how to achieve calm abiding. The antidote then, there's one antidote to apply to that, and that is recollection. Well, perhaps it's translated as mindfulness, it's the same word. It's a recollection or mindfulness of the instructions. That is the antidote to the fault of forgetfulness of the instructions.
And then the question, Nimbo Jingwe, Jingwa, and Govachurwa, Jingwe, Nguyenwa, Dijuan, Dijuan, Nimbo de Gassin, Shishin, 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 Jingwe, Yungu, how quiet, Shishin, the Hamogona, Jingwe, the Lady Urwa, Chesan, Shishin, the Shishin.
Then to the faults of introspection, then to the faults of laxity and excitement, these have the antidote of introspection or vigilance, where one applies vigilance or introspection so as to overcome the faults of laxity and excitement. The reason that introspection is the antidote to laxity and excitement is introspection plays the role of being aware whether the mind is under the influence of laxity or whether it's under the influence of excitement, or it's not, in other words, translated as distraction, but where the mind is mentally excited and thereby is not able to abide on the object. So introspection has the function of being aware of whether the mind is under the influence of laxity or excitement.
Digi docho de leda, jingu yon de couple, shishing yuba, how go in the yung, how go the jingu lesa, ledu, how go do, then a carson, nimbo tended, nimbo tended, nimbo dujebas, or nimbo umber dujebas, a cigarette, nimbo umber dujebas, nimbo jingu, jingu yungu the same big, pakaya de, jamba tenge. Nimbo saba, then. Nimba
Then the seventh of the eight antidotes is overcoming laxity. So applying antidote, because now this has come about independence on introspection, one has noticed now that there is laxity, so one overcomes laxity, returning the mind to the object.
Then
Here then, one is utilizing the previous antidote of introspection as well as the one before of mindfulness. And one is now, introspection has noticed either the mind has fallen under the influence of laxity or under the influence of excitement, and it's introspection that has recognized this. And then the mental factor of mindfulness is recalling the instructions to apply. And then one applies the relevant antidote. So for example, if one is meditating and falls asleep, or is falling asleep, but introspection doesn't notice one's falling asleep, what happens? You actually fall asleep. But if introspection notices that one's nodding off, then mindfulness will remind oneself of an antidote to apply, and then one, now that this particular antidote, applies the counteractive method so as to ward off, in this illustration, that of sleep. Here then, with the seventh antidote, when one is noticing that instead of holding the object single-pointedly, one is going off to laxity or going off to excitement, one applies the antidote and brings the mind back single-pointedly onto the object. Just as the translator, I haven't studied this for many, many years, but I'm seeming to recall the seventh antidote is that of application, and the eighth antidote is non-application, right? Thank you. So, Tepel confirms the memories were for one's right. So the eighth antidote is where one doesn't apply an antidote because one is holding the object in an undistracted manner. Therefore, the fault here that would be to apply an antidote. Rather, the antidote is not applying an antidote, hence non-application. And the reason for not applying the antidote is because the object is being held in an undistracted manner. Or sorry, it's being held single-pointedly.
And
As I mentioned a little while ago, there are two techniques for cultivating calm abiding. Now we've looked at one of the two, that of the application of 8 antidotes to overcome the 5 faults to achieve calm abiding. So of these antidotes, the primary ones are the 4 to overcome laziness, and you'll recall that the fourth one is that of pliancy, which is actually achieved, physical and mental pliancy, or the bliss of physical and mental pliancy, is achieved when calm abiding is actually achieved. To get that far, one needs to apply the preceding antidote, that of effort, great effort, and that comes about in dependence on the preceding antidote of determination, which itself comes about in dependence on the first antidote, that of conviction in the qualities of calm abiding. So those are the first 4 of the 8 antidotes. Then of the remaining 4, it's primarily mindfulness and introspection. Mindfulness to overcome forgetfulness, introspection so as to overcome laxity and excitement. And really we could say these 2 are the most important ones and that we should be utilizing in all our meditations and daily life. The last 2 antidotes were either applying or not the non-application of the antidotes. What we've covered here in this section isn't in the text. The text only presents the three different ways to three different divisions of concentration, and so we've looked at a little bit more in a little more detail, which for some of you may be new. For others, may be a reminder of what you've studied in the past. So we'll conclude here for tonight and continue then next week. And if you have questions on this, then do keep them, save them, and bring them along next week. Thank you very much.